Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, God bless you. This is Evangelist Amos coming to you live from Manna Teaching Ministries. Today we're going to be talking to you about King David, and the name of our message is A Broken and a Contrite Heart God Will Not Despise. I want to ask the Lord to bless the message on today. I thank God for each and everyone that's tuning in today. We're going to start, amen, with our first scripture. And the first thing I want to talk to you about is King David. Amen. We're going to go and read back. And when he was called, when God called him, you know, David was called the apple of God's eye. When I looked up the apple of God's eye, it means a particular object of a person's affection or regard, a greatly cherished person or thing. So David was greatly beloved by God. In Psalm 17 and 8, David said, "Keep me as the apple of your eye." I want to pose a question to you today. What was it about David's heart that endeared him to God? Let's go over to 1 Samuel chapter 16, when David was first called by God. So we're going to turn over to 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 1. And I'll give you a minute to find it. Now the Bible says in 1 Samuel 16 and 1, "And the Lord said unto Samuel, How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil, and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons." So here we see that God said, "I have provided me a king among his sons." Now, where have we heard that word before, "I have provided"? Remember in Genesis chapter 22, verse 8, where God told Abraham, or Abraham told Isaac, when Isaac said, "I have the fire and I have the wood, but where is the lamb?" And Abraham told Isaac, "God will provide himself a lamb for the sacrifice." I want you to know that when you're doing God's work and doing God's will, God always provides. Amen. So that was in Genesis 22 and 8. And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself the lamb for a burnt offering." But back over in 1 Samuel 16, we see that God said, "I have provided me a king among Jesse's sons." God always provides things. Now, over in 1 Samuel, we're going to keep reading in verse 2. The Bible says, Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. And thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee." And Samuel did that which the Lord spoke, and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, "Comest thou peacefully?" Because they knew Samuel to be a prophet. Amen. And he said, "Peaceably I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. Now it came to pass in verse 6, when they were come, that he looked on Eliab, that's the oldest, and said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." But look what the Lord said in verse 7. "But the Lord said to Samuel, Look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance." Hallelujah. But you know, this is one of the most beautiful scriptures I love to read. The Bible says, "The Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." Praise God. So let's talk about this for a minute. God said, "I have refused him." Samuel said, just looking at the man, he said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before us." But God said, "I have refused him." God wants me to tell you today that some of us are dealing with leaders that God has refused because we are looking on the outside. Let's continue to read. "Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, Neither hath the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by. And he said, Neither hath the Lord chosen this. excuse me, and then in verse 10, this is another key verse, the Bible says, Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord have not chosen these. Now remember, God told Samuel to tell Jesse to bring all his sons before him. But the Bible says that Samuel said, the Lord have not chosen any of these. Let me tell you something. Why was David not called to the table? Why was David not called in when God said, bring all of your sons? Hallelujah. I want you to know that David did not even qualify to be in the contest. Hallelujah. David didn't even qualify to come in the room when Jesse's sons came. But that God told Samuel, neither one of these have I chosen. He was a son. David was a son that was rejected by his own father. Samuel said, call your sons. But Jesse did not come in. He did not call David in. He did not call David in. But even though David was one of his children. How many of you today were rejected by family? How many of you have been rejected in life? How many were rejected by someone in the past? I want you to know that God is accepting you. God has chosen you, and you are called by God. Now, let's go back in and see what David is talking about. The Bible says in verse 10, the Lord have not chosen thee, Samuel said unto Jesse, because he knew that God had spoke to him. He said, I hear all your children in verse 11. And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he comes in. And he sent, and the Bible says they brought him in verse 12, and the Bible describes how David looked. He was ruddy or red. He was withal of a beautiful countenance, so he was handsome, and he was goodly to look upon. That means he was good looking. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Now Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. I want to talk again, amen. The Bible says that the Spirit of God rested upon David from that day forward. I want you to know when God calls you, when God anoints you, when God chooses you for a particular task, God will anoint you and the Spirit of God will be upon you from that to do what God has called you to do from that day forward. Amen. So let's go ahead, and the Bible says, verse 13, that Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Amen. So let's turn over, amen, to 2 Samuel. We're going to go back up. I'm sorry. We're going to go back up to, 2 Samuel 11. Let's turn over to 2 Samuel 11. And I want to start in verse 1. Now, this is talking about David. We're still talking about David. The first part of our lesson talked about David being called and anointed and how he was refused. He didn't even qualify to come to the table, but God said, I don't look at the outward appearance. I look at the heart. He is my chosen. Anoint him. So here we see over in 2 Samuel chapter 11, this is after David became king, after he was in his heyday, after he was prosperous, and he was king over Israel. Amen. So let's start in chapter 11, verse 1. The Bible says, it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Ramah. Now, this is a battle going on, but David tarried at Jerusalem. The Bible says at the time when kings go forth to battle, David, letting you know that David was not where he was supposed to be at the time he was supposed to be there. That lets you know when you're not where you're supposed to be at the right time, you can be tempted to get out of the will of God. I want you to see that because the Bible says when kings go forth to battle, David was still tarrying in Jerusalem at home. Verse 2. And it came to pass in the evening time that David arose off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. If David had been in a battle where kings are supposed to be when there's a battle going on, he would not have been there to be tempted with Bathsheba. The Bible says he saw her washing herself, and she was very beautiful. Verse 3, and David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? Now, he knew from the beginning that she was married, but in verse 4, that didn't bother David. So here we see he's committing the act of adultery first. That was the first sin. The first sin was not being in the right place at the right time. This was the second sin. Verse 4, and David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him. And he laid with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. So that was the sin of adultery. We're going to start a list here of sins so we can see how God deals with sin. Now, the woman conceived, the Bible said, and sent and told David and said, I am with child. So not only did she lay with the king, because she had no choice, it was the king, he made the rules and the laws, but she became pregnant. And she told David she was pregnant with his child, because evidently her husband had been gone to battle long enough where this would not possibly could be her child, his child. That was Uriah. Verse 8, and David sent to Joab, saying, send me Uriah the Hittite. And Joab sent Uriah to David. Here we see David is attempting to cover his sin. The Bible says in verse 7, when Uriah was come in unto him, David demanded of him how Joab did and how the people did and how the war prospered. And David said to Uriah, go down to your house and wash your feet. Now, he had a beautiful wife at home. Of course, you think he's going to go down to his house. The first thing he's going to do is make himself comfortable. He hadn't had sex with his wife in some time, obviously. So David thought that he was going to convince Uriah to lay down with his wife. Uriah departed out of the king's house, and there followed him a mess of meat from the king. So David said, I'm going to make him full. I'm going to let him take a bath. I'm going to give him some food. And he's going to lay down with his wife, and my sin will never be uncovered. But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of his lord and went not down to his house. When they had told David, saying, Uriah went not down into his house, David said to Uriah, camest thou not from thy journey? Why then didst thou not go down unto thy house? Uriah said unto David in 11:11, the ark and Israel and Judah abide in tents, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped in the open fields. Shall I then go into mine house to eat and to drink and to lie with my wife? As thou livest and as thy soul liveth, I will not do this thing. I want you to see in verse 11 how righteous Uriah was. He was such a righteous man. He said, the battle is raging. The ark of Israel and Judah are abiding in tents. And my lord Joab, who was the captain of the army, his captain, and the servants of my lord are in the open fields. He said, I cannot go down to my house and relax and enjoy my wife and eat and drink when my brothers are out in the field. This was a true man of God. He said, how can I do this thing? He said, as I live and as you live, I will not do this. So because of his righteousness, David could not conceal his sin so easily. Now, verse 12, David said to Uriah, tarry here today also, and tomorrow I will let thee depart. So Uriah abode or stayed in Jerusalem on that day and the next. When David called him, David had to think about plan two. He had to go to plan two here. So verse 13, David called him. He did eat and drink before King David, and he made him drunk. And at evening time, he went out to lie on his bed with the servants of his lord, but went not down to his house. This is the second time David tried to get Uriah to go and have sex with Bathsheba so he could cover his sin. He thought by getting him drunk in verse 13 that he would surely get drunk. He would be out of his mind. He wouldn't remember the righteousness, and he would go home. But no, even when he was drunk, Uriah still maintained his integrity, and he did not go down and lay with his wife. Verse 14, it came to pass in the morning that David wrote a letter to Joab. This was plan B. Remember plan A, plan B. I think we're on plan C now. It came to pass in the morning that David wrote a letter to Joab. David said, you know, I can't get this man to go down and have sex with his wife and cover my sin with her pregnancy. I'm going to have to go to another more drastic measure. So it came to pass in verse 14 that David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. Now he gave this man his own letter of death in his own hand to deliver because this man was faithful. Hallelujah. I want you to see how faithful Uriah was. Amen. The Bible says in verse 15 that David wrote in the letter saying, set ye up Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle and retire from him. In other words, let him be killed. So David now is going from the sin of adultery and the sin of covering up his sin, impregnating another man's wife. Now he's becoming a murderer just to cover his sins. Saints, you don't hear what God is saying today. Now, when it came to pass, when Joab observed, now David said, I didn't finish verse 15, set ye Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle and retire from him that he may be smitten and die. And it came to pass, when Joab observed the city, that he assigned Uriah unto a place where he knew that valiant men were. And the men of that city went out and fought with Joab, and there fell some of the people of the servants of David. So David didn't only sacrifice Uriah, but he sacrificed other Israelites that day in battle. The Bible says there fell some of the people of the servants of David, and Uriah the Hittite died also. So now he's not just a murderer, but he's a mass murderer. He's committed mass murder just to cover his sin. Verse 18, then Joab sent and told David all the things concerning the war, and charged the messenger, saying, when thou hast made an end of telling the matters of the war unto the king, if so be that the king's wrath arise, and he say unto thee, wherefore approaches you so near unto the city when you did fight? Know ye not that they would shoot from the wall? Who smote Abimelech, the son of Jerubasheth? Now that's one person that died. Did not a woman cast a piece of a millstone upon him from the wall that he died in Thebez? Why went ye near the wall? Not a good strategy. Then say they Joab told them to tell David, thy servant Uriah the Hittite is dead also. So I have done what you asked me to do. Uriah is dead. Now verse 22, the messenger went and came and showed David all that Joab had him sent. And the messenger said unto David, surely the men prevailed against us and came out unto us into the field, and we were upon them even unto the entering in of the gate. And the shooters shot from off the wall upon thy servants, some of the king's servants be dead, and thy servant Uriah the Hittite is dead also. Then David said unto the messenger, thus shalt thou say unto Joab, let not this thing displease thee, for the sword devoureth one as well as another. Make thy battle more strong against the city, and overthrow it, and encourage thou him. Because this thing that Joab was told to do, lose people's lives in the battle, was not something that a captain of an army would be pleased about. So David told him, don't be discouraged. Now, verse 26, when the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah, her husband, was dead, she mourned for her husband. But verse 27 is another key verse. The Bible says, when the mourning was past, her mourning period was over, David sent and fetched her to his house. She became his wife and bare him a son. David had his way. His sin was covered, or so he thought, and no one would be any the wiser. She became his wife. She had a son for him. Everything is cool. But the last part of verse 27, and this is what we're going to talk about. The thing that David had done displeased the Lord. Amen. So here we're talking about King David and his sin. Remember, God chose David. He said, I look at the heart. I don't look at the outward appearance. I look at the heart. But here David committed a sin. Why did the scripture say, I'm going back up a little bit, David was in the wrong. This never would have happened if David had been where he was supposed to be when he was supposed to be there. We don't understand. The Bible says the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. You have to be walking in the Spirit. The Bible said if you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. So here we see that David was not walking in the Spirit. He was not walking in obedience to God. He was tempted. He yielded to temptation. And the Bible says that this is what began this process. David was in the wrong place at the wrong time. It was a setup. It was a strategy by Satan. The Bible says we are not ignorant of his devices. We are not ignorant of his devices. So this was a setup by Satan. It was innocently enough with David not sinning, just being in the wrong place at the wrong time. A lot of things start off, don't start off as sin, but as you go on, then you are tempted and you fall into sin. You fall into the traps. You fall into the snares of the enemy. So David was guilty of this only of being in the wrong place at the wrong time, but it put him in a predicament where he could be tempted. Let's go over to Psalms 51 where we see the prayer of David because the Bible says, remember, the thing that David did displeased the Lord. Let's keep on going. We're going to read, and before we get over to that, we're going to read in 2 Samuel 11. Just give me 1 second. Let's go back over to 2 Samuel 11. We're going to read chapter 12. I want to read the next chapter before we get into Psalms. So if we go to 2 Samuel chapter 12, after the thing that David did displeased the Lord, God sent Nathan to David. The Bible says, the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one was rich and the other was poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom, and was unto him as a daughter. There came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock, which he had many, and of his own herd, which he was rich, to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him. But he took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was to come. In other words, David, you have all these women. You could have had anybody's, any woman that you wanted, but why did you go and take Uriah's wife? You could have had any woman that you wanted. David's anger was greatly kindled. Now, he's talking about a lamb here. You took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him when he had his own flock and his own herd, but he didn't want to take it out of his flock. He went to the poor man's lamb and took that to dress for the stranger. Now, in verse 5, David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that have done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity or mercy. Verse 7, Nathan said to David, and this is a very key verse in chapter 12, thou art the man. Thus said the Lord God. Now, Nathan was a prophet. He came to David. He said, thou art the man. Thus said the Lord God of Israel. I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom. I gave thee the house of Israel. This is God talking, and of Judah. And if that had not been enough, or if that had been too little, David, I would have given you unto thee such and such a things. I would have given you anything you asked for. Verse 9, wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. I want you to know there's nothing secret before God. David did this thing in secret, but I want you to know God is getting ready to reveal it before the world. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from thine house. We know David was a man of blood. That's why he couldn't build the house of God, because God said he had too much blood on his hand. God told him here, the sword shall never depart from your house, because you have despised me and has taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus said the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes. You took Uriah's wife. I'm going to take your wives, plural, before your eyes and give them to your neighbor, and they shall lie with your wives in the sight of the sun. you're going to be embarrassed. You're going to be humiliated for this thing that you did. For you did it secretly in verse 12. But God said, I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. In other words, everyone is going to know about it. David said unto Nathan, I want you to see David's reaction when God told him what he had done. God told him he knew about it. God told him he was not going to allow it to be kept a secret, but he was going to expose David. I want you to see what David said in verse 13. David said to Nathan, I have sinned. The first thing he did was repent. I think this is why God loved David so much, because he had a repentant heart. He had a repentant spirit. He said, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord hath put away thy sin, because he did repent. Thou shalt not die. Howbeit by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. The child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. And Nathan departed unto his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. Now, I'm going to skip, because I only have a few minutes left, to Psalms 51, because this is very important. I want you to see David's heart. Amen. In Psalms 51, the Bible says, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan, the prophet, came to him after he had gone into Bathsheba. David prayed and said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. So he prayed a prayer of repentance. He said, have mercy. He pleaded on the mercy of God. He pleaded on the loving kindness of God. You have to know God in order to really pray like this. He said, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgression. Verse 2, wash me. Not only do I want you to forgive me, but I want you to cleanse me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Wash me from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. David started off in secret, doing secret sins. But he said, I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. David had lost, had forgotten that God sees everything. He said, against thee and on thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when you speak and be clear when you judge. He acknowledged God's judgment to be right. He said, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. I want to talk about the inward parts. God desires truth in the inward parts. Sometimes we hide things from ourselves. Sometimes we don't admit the things that we have inside of us. We can't bring them to the altar and put them on the altar. God wants you, God desires truth in your inward man. David said in verse 7, purge me with hyssop, I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which you have broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. David just kept repenting. He kept going deeper and deeper into repentance. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. You know, we go to church on Sundays. We go to church and we get on the altar. We say a quick prayer. That's not, David didn't do a quick prayer. This is 10 verses and he's not even finished yet. He said, create in me a clean heart. When David got up from this prayer, he wanted to know that he was changed. He wanted to know that whatever was in him that caused him to commit this sin against God, that it would never happen again. He said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, because sin will separate you from God. He said, cast me not away from your presence, and take not thine Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with your free spirit. After you cleanse me, after you cleanse my inward parts, after you wash me with hyssop, after you clean me from within, my secret sins, he said, then will I teach transgressors thy way, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not Thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God, and this is our main scripture today, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou will not despise. Hallelujah. You have to come to God with a broken and a contrite heart, and God will not despise your brokenness. Amen. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. I want the main scripture I want you to get out of this. If you don't get anything else out of this today, saints, remember Psalms 51 and 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. That's the word for you today. A broken, some of you are broken, some of you are weeping, some of you are crying out to God. A broken and a contrite heart, I want you to know that God will not despise. Amen. God bless you. I love you. My time is up. I'll come back to you again, as the Lord say, with another message from Manna Teaching Ministry. God bless you, and good night.